Episode numero 13.
13?
Diez y tres.
What?
Diez y tres. Episode Diez y tres.
What did
I say? I know. I was waiting for you to say something.
I was like repeating it in my mind, and it's like Diez del tres. And I was like,
what is
he's
that?
Trying to communicate something. I don't know what it is. And then it took my brain a second to register. I was like, oh, he's trying to say 13.
One body bag or two?
Hello and welcome everyone to episode 13.
Episode 13.
Whoop whoop. Have you guys been waiting for this just as long as I have?
Oh, yeah, yeah, looking forward to it. Yes.
You guys sound so eager. It's like you guys are just sitting on your side of the table.
I love
table,
Murder Week. What about you,
playing
Yeri?
On your phones.
I was looking up.
Completely ignoring me. Research for next merch.
She's doing research.
We already said the research was going to be a black dog
it's
with
a
lightning.
It's a black dog, but I need to fucking figure out the anatomy of how to draw a fucking dog.
Woof, woof.
I know. Look, I went to art school, but I didn't really.
Should I bring Athena in here and you could just take pictures of her?
One of the first rules of art is learn to use references.
Yeah. Okay.
Reference. That's
what
I
Googled. Reference. So
I just don't know because I have a picture in mind for the dog, but I don't know the name of the breed of the dog.
Try looking up.
Like those,
if you're looking for
long-haired, wavy hair.
That's what I say. If you're looking for Lanky, you look up the Irish.
Irish Wolfhound.
Yeah, the Irish Wolfhound. That is Lanky. Has wavy hair. And
but I'm also scared that it's gonna end up looking like Full Metal Alchemist.
Ah.
I just showed Sam a picture of that of her Pokemon cross reference between it. It's funny.
They kind of look like this, but they have longer hair.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about, but I can't think of the breed right now.
Saint Bernard?
No, it's like a skinny, lanky one. Sometimes they look all emo-licious because they have the
and they look like they have silky hair, right? I think it's the long hair pointer or the long hair greyhound. But while she's looking that up, Joe, do you mind telling us the lovely tea that you served all of us?
So remember long ago where you were able to buy tea from a place called Teavana?
There's some Teavana still.
There's still Teavana around. They're actually part of Starbucks now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. My mistake. Well, anyway, remember when they were separate from Starbucks and overcharged? Anyway, we're drinking one of their teas today. It is called Tranquil Dream. And add sugar to it. You'll like it with sugar.
Yeah, it needs a lot of that.
Yeah, that's the chamomile.
What if I drink this one just all super creepy?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's
daggers.
It's like all hair.
I've seen a couple of them in person. They're so snooty.
That's what I wanted.
They're like a long-haired dachshund.
Yes. Mess with me and I'll knock you down in one punch. Yes. And then they need to have a monocle for some reason. I don't know why. I imagine those ones with walking around
you
with monocles.
Imagine anyone that's snooty has a monocle.
I told you it was a Tranquil Dream, and it has it's. I can't remember all of the ingredients that are in it, but the main ingredient is chamomile for a calm night.
Well, you know. Can I just have my Arizona sweet tea?
Dang, you've been rejected.
I need ice, though, because it's cold.
How much sugar did you put in it?
He did not put enough.
There's something floating in mine.
Well, yeah, it's the leaves. The leaves.
I don't like it. Needs more sugar.
Thank you.
Wait, you put the rock sugar?
Yeah.
I wonder if, how much their hair sheds, though, because it's so long.
We should ask someone, hey, if you're a breeder of, what are they again?
Afghan hound.
Afghan hounds.
Hound.
Hound.
Yeah.
Hounds, yeah. If you're a breeder of that, how about you send us some information? How is the What is the maintenance on it? What kind of tricks do you have to do to maintain those beautiful locks? Like, come on, give us some information, because out of all the breeds of dogs that I know of, I know probably the least of those ones. Okay. Again, we are on episode 13.
And what is episode 13?
Episode 13's week of the murder.
You don't say.
Murder. It's my week, bitches. And we have a pretty short case.
You're making fun of me?
Why am I making fun of you?
Because I'm short.
Dude, you're like an inch taller than me. What does that mean?
I'm just kidding. I'm referring to my D&D character. I'm sorry.
So, today's case, his D&D character is a Twinkie that's like 2 feet.
3 foot goblin, goddammit.
It's 2 feet Twinkie. So, why do you always have to do that? Like, every fucking episode, you're just and letting everyone know you're like, I'm so a.
I just want people to know how I like it and to know how much deliciousness is in here.
Sure. Okay, so I'm actually covering something that's not in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, when it comes to some murder cases that are not in the United States, depending on where you find the information, a lot of details are usually left out and not in public record. So this case does not have as many details as I'm used to giving. So for all my gory folks out there who liked gory, you're not going to get that much today.
Boo.
They don't need to know that. Just tell the damn story.
Boo.
Of course they need to know that, because there's some people who actually like it and appreciate it.
I like the facts, too. The facts are nice.
I appreciate it regardless.
Okay, so let's get started. All right, bitches. I am covering the murder of Kellyanne Bates, not related to the actress. Okay.
That's a legitimate question.
I guess. It's a legitimate. So, the murder of Kellyanne Bates. On April 16th, 1996, James Patterson Smith told police that his teenage girlfriend, Kellyanne Bates, had accidentally drowned, but the sickening injuries found on her bodies indicate torture to murder far worse than they could ever imagine. All right, so 17-year-old Kellyanne Bates, was tortured by her 48-year-old partner, James Patterson Smith, over a 4-week period, including having her eyes gouged from her sockets up to 3 weeks before her death. Before being drowned in the bathtub. While police did, in fact, find her body in a bathtub, they could see that how it got there was no accident. After knocking Kelly unconscious with the shower nozzle, Smith then had to force her head under the water. So this guy was just so full of himself. He walked into the police station and was like, hey, my girlfriend's dead. She drowned herself in the bathtub. But everything that was in the crime scene said completely otherwise. And he stuck behind his story that she drowned herself. Yeah.
What a douche.
Oh, major. So the murder inquiry was headed up by Detective Sergeant Joseph Mongram of the Greater Manchester Police, who said, I've been in the police force for 15 years. I have never seen a case as horrific as this. William Lauer.
As what?
Horrific.
Horrific?
Horrific.
Horrific?
Horrific.
Oh, gosh. William Lauer, the pathologist who examined Bates' body, described her injuries as the worst he has seen on any murder victim.
That's saying something, because I've seen some pretty bad ones.
Yes, and that's what they do for a living, and he's saying this is the worst he's ever seen. So, here's a little bit of background on James, and just a tad bit on Kelly, since Kelly was young when all this happened. So, James Patterson Smith was an unemployed unemployed divorcee living in Gorton, Manchester, England. I like how it's supposed to be England, but I put English.
They speak English there.
No shit. Actually, I'll be kind of near that area in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now. Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm nervous.
Don't be.
My anxiety is going up the roof right now, but described by acquaintances as house proud, and well-groomed. He was
house proud, as in
he was very, he always made sure his house looked pristine on the outside.
Oh.
Like, you've seen, if you've seen pictures of his place, it kind of just looks like it fits in very well. Like, it's well groomed, the lawn is always well kept and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So he was very prideful of how his house looked and how he looked from the outside to people. So, and he himself was that way too. He always had himself really well groomed around people. I don't know what the fuck this is. He was T2 taller?
I'm assuming you meant to put his height, but typoed.
I don't know. I'm going to look that up. Oh, no, it's an actual thing. apparently, okay. So, James Patterson Smith was an unemployed divorcee living in Living in Gorton, Manchester, England, described by acquaintances as a house proud and well-groomed. He was teetotaller.
Teetotaller?
You know what that is?
No, I don't.
A person who never drinks alcohol.
Really?
Yes. A non-drinker, in other words. And he was also a non-smoker. His marriage ended after 10 years in 1980 due to his violence toward his wife.
Damn.
He had then committed...
So there was, like, no warnings from this other girl who was just like, oh, this guy seems pretty normal. He's a T2 taller, so, yeah, he must be a good guy.
When you say T2 taller, I think he's, like, taller than a lot of people. I know! Just, like, a T. Like,
I don't know.
A T taller than
you. I guess I picked that term. Remember, I wrote... Yeah. Anyways, so...
Was that supposed to be a sugar cube?
No. No, it wasn't. But you have to think, I write my stories, like... in advance. Mm-hmm. So there, sometimes my stories are not as fresh in my brain and I should probably read these stuff and go over my notes before actually doing the episode, but I was too busy working on another episode. Joe,
I need more tea.
Here, you can have mine.
No, okay. No, you put so much sugar in that.
You're not gonna taste anything.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So he had then commenced.
Dare you to try it? I kind of want to try it.
Oh my god! I think there's still like bits of sugar in there.
Yeah, I still hear little pieces.
He had then commenced an affair between 1980 to 1982 with a 20-year-old Tina Watson, whom he used as a punching bag, even subjecting her to severe beatings while she was pregnant with his child.
Watson, it kind of makes you wonder, what if he did drink alcohol?
Would he, right? Would he this not is, have beat his girlfriend? This is him.
Sober.
So imagine how much more of a dick. Or maybe he's the opposite. Maybe if he drank, he was a nice guy. You know how people have like different sides when they drink? They're like, they have the people who like talk too much or the people who like become all emo-licious.
They want to be everybody's friends.
Yeah, maybe he was the opposite. Instead of like being a major asshole drunkard.
No, I've never met a T2. What was it called?
T2 taller.
I've never met a T2 taller.
So, never yeah. Too. He used to severely beat her while she was pregnant. Watson managed to escape from the relationship, during which Smith had also attempted to drown her while she was bathing. Do we see a pattern here? Yes.
Obviously.
Yes, we do.
Did he also beat her in the head with the shower thing?
No.
She survived?
Yes. She managed to escape, Joe. Was that not, you know, what part of that sentence did you not understand?
I didn't hear that part.
Tina recalled the abuse while pregnant. Once, and this is in quotations, once I was having a bath, he got me by the throat and tried to push me under the water. It was then I knew I had to leave. You know, minus all the beatings that she had before. It was then
so
she...
So it was like a physically abusive relationship.
Very.
Is that a picture of her?
Of Tina. This is of Kelly. Oh. I'll show you the other
Kelly. Yeah.
I got it in color this time.
Kelly.
This is not as creepy.
It's not. Okay. So she said it wasn't always like this at first. It was, again, and in quotation, at first it was now and again just a tap, but in the end it was every day. He would smack me in the face or hit me over the head with an ashtray. He would kick me in the legs or between the legs, but was always hitting me. Yes, he was kicking her vagina.
I'm glad you clarified.
That wasn't my question. That was kind of like in between the legs is kind of what I expected. It's
for
just
me,
like,
it was like the fucking ashtray. I was like, been like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Right. It took her almost being drowned. It took her being drowned or attempting to be drowned in the bathtub for her to be like, I think there's something wrong with this guy. No, not the ashtray over the head or her being kicked in the crotch. Let's try and drown her. In 1982, Smith then began a statutory rape, a relationship with a 15-year-old Wendy Mottershead. I know English. He also became a victim of his violence. In one attack, he held her head underwater in the kitchen sink in an attempt to drown her. Wendy explained the control Smith had over her. In quotation, "It frightened me. But it got to the point where you're too frightened to do anything or say anything. You just..." So in 1993, Smith began another statutory rape relationship with Kellyanne Bates while she was only 14. He met her while she was babysitting for a friend. It was said that Kelly fell for him instantly as
Kelly,
Smith...
Kelly, you're 14. You don't know who you fall for.
Right. She said she fell for him almost instantly. In quotation, "He played the perfect gentleman. He walked her home that night to keep her safe."
Because that's not creepy, a 48-year-old man being like, "Hey, little girl, let me walk you home tonight."
It's not, it doesn't sound creepy, but I've been walked home by an adult before, too.
That's understandable
to be, "Hey, let me walk you home."
Yeah, but then when it's like some old dude who's like, "I'm attracted to you, let me walk you home."
Oh my God. He didn't say that, though.
I know.
No. Gosh, Joe, you're making it all creepy over there. So, a little on Kellyanne Bates. She had an older brother and a younger brother, so she was the middle child, the only girl. Mm-hmm. While growing up, Bates was a strong girl that loved playing sports. She dreamed of becoming a teacher, and she attended college while working for a graphic firm.
She was a graphic designer?
Yes. She had future plans, and she had ambitions. Ambitions, yeah. However, after meeting Smith, she completely changed. She stopped showering, would spend hours just curled up on the sofa in complete silence. Kelly had completely changed the night Smith walked her home, taking complete and utter control of her. It was like instant.
Yeah.
Kelly and Smith kept the relationship a secret for 2 years when her mother came home to find Kelly in the kitchen and Smith coming downstairs, having coming from Kelly's room. On November 30th...
How old was she then?
16. Yeah.
So for 2 years already?
Yeah, it's been 2 years. On November 30th, 1995, approximately 2 years later, she left school. Bates moved in with Smith at his home in Furnival Road, Gorton. She had concealed the relationship from her parents, Margaret and Tommy Bates. And then that's when they realized that their daughter was in a secret relationship. They went to Smith's address to meet him. Reportedly, Kellyanne appeared nervous and sat quietly with her head bowed during the visit. Margaret and Tommy did not agree with the relationship, but believed if they tried to fight her, they would never see their daughter again.
What is it with these parents that are like, "I see my child, yet
I'm not doing anything about it"?
What was the other one? The girl in the box one?
Pineapples?
Yeah, Pineapples, where yes. She was just like, he took her to, like, see her parents, and also it's like, "Can I blink 1,000 times, Mom? Will you get it?
I know that I need help. Okay?" Yeah. So.
Sometimes people get, like, fucking brainwashed.
I mean, I understand the times, but if that was my parents, dude, my parents would have dragged me home by the ear. Bates' mother said of her first meeting with Smith after the two began living together. "As soon as I saw Smith and the hairs raised on the back of my neck, I tried everything I could to get Kellyanne away, but she fought back every step of the way." Kellyanne kept in short contact with her parents, telling them more about Smith. They would later find out were all lies. She revealed that his name was Dave, not James, and he preferred to go by the name of Jim and not James. She also told her parents that he was only 32 when he was 48. So she was always constantly coming up with lies for him. When Kellyanne would visit her parents, she would be covered in bruises and always spoke with her head down and would occasionally have bite marks. Margaret had tried to report this to domestic violence department, but instead
They encourage Margaret to give Kellyanne information and leaflets about how to identify abuse and how to leave the situation.
You did a bang-up job there.
Right? Maybe they got one of those leaflets from Ted Bundy.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe it was Ted Bundy that gave it to him. He's like, this guy sounds like my type of guy here. Have some pamphlets.
Right. Yes, yeah, so it's all they ever told her, but Margaret never got a chance to drop them off because at the time went by, they started to lose even more contact with Kellyanne until there was no more entirely. So it went from visiting them occasionally to never, and then phone calls to monitoring phone calls to nothing. And no more phone calls, no more visits. Only postcards starting stating to be Kellyanne, but always in Smith's handwriting.
So it was just letters then?
Yeah. Barely. More like postcards going like, hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. Although she had left Smith briefly because of frequent fighting, in November 1995, she was once more living with him in the same house. Her parents had noticed bruising, which she explained away as a part-time job that she had. In March 1996, her parents received cards supposedly from Kelly, one for their anniversary and another for a birthday.
What part-time job was that? Oh, it's MMA fighting.
All right, or falling down the stairs on, you know, just a test dummy.
Professional falling down the stairs.
Yeah, so she'd always try to explain away every little bruise, every little scrap or scrape that she had from something else, again, other than him. So they ended up receiving a card supposedly from Kelly for their anniversary and their birthday, but it was easy to see that the handwriting was that of Smith's and not Kelly's. When Bates' brother tried to see her at the house, Smith would say that she was not home, either at work or running errands. When a concerned neighbor asked about her, he briefly showed her through an upstairs window, but only for a small second. And
it kind of seems like over-possessive of her, too.
Beyond. He would not let her leave the house, period. And whenever, like, the neighbor was like, hey, where's Kelly? And he's like, let me go get her. He went to the upstairs and literally grabbed her like a rag doll, showed her in front of the, and then threw her back down. Yeah.
And nobody decided to report this either?
They did. Her mom had tried to, but again, all they gave was
pamphlets
and leaflets. So, Margaret had reported all accounts to the police, but the police were unable to pursue Smith at the time because she had no... because he had no prior criminal records and no one had previously reported him for domestic violence.
What about his wife that fucking left him?
So I'm about to tell you something that you guys are probably going to roll your eyes to because I fucking did. Apparently. Did I not write it down?
I don't think
I wrote it down. So.
You got so angry you didn't write it down?
Yeah. This guy actually did have a bit of a history.
Yeah.
But it was mostly, you know, like his partners saying that about the domestic violence. Well, here in England and in Manchester and in another case that I will cover later, apparently after so many years of a clean record, they expunge it off your record. So you, not like here in the United States, if you got reported for domestic violence, it's forever on your record. They will see it. Well, in over there, if you say, for example, you've gone 3 years without it, they'll take it off your record. Be like, oh, we don't want it on there because it could hinder him from living his life or getting another job. Or, you know, because people look at your record and they're like, oh, well, you have a domestic violence here. We can't really have that with someone working here. So to help this person get a better life, they'll actually take shit like that off their record. And that's what happened with him. So that's why they were like, they would look him up and be like, oh, he doesn't have anything.
Well, geez. Well, maybe if you didn't expunge that evidence or that, you know, that little tidbit.
Yeah. So that happened quite often. So we're going to jump to it. We're going to jump to the abuse and murder. Believe it or not, we're already halfway done. On April 17th.
Oh, is that him?
Yes. I'm about to pass this out to you guys for you guys to see in a second. So on April 17th, 1996, Smith presented himself at the police station and said that he had accidentally killed his girlfriend during an argument in the bath, claiming that she had inhaled bath water and died despite his attempts to resuscitate her. He also claimed that he thought she was pretending to be dead, as she often pretended to be unconscious when he was beating her.
Oh, gee.
Yes.
I don't think you fucking pretend to be unconscious when you're fucking beating someone.
Yes. So police right away responded to Smith's address and found Bates' naked body in the bedroom or in the bathtub. Bates' blood was found in every room of the house, and a post-mortem examination revealed over 150 separate injuries on her body. During the last month of her life, she had been kept bound in the house, sometimes tied by her hair to a radiator or a chair, or any other, or at other times with a ligature around her neck. William Lawrence, a home office pathologist who examined her body, said, "In my career, I have examined almost 600 victims of homicide, but I have never come across injuries so extensive." And here's the injuries included, but not limited to. So I'm going to just list off a small things, and they're pretty general because this was what was made available to the public. One thing in England is that they keep their cases pretty private, and they don't allow their records. Yeah, it's not like here. Everything's public record. You can request records. Over there, unless you are involved in the case or if you're a relative, is the only way you can get records. And even then, you cannot, you actually have, I think you have to sign a form that says you will not make this public. So there's no actual photos of her body mm-hmm. after the fact or after everything. They have them, but it has not been released to the public. Mm-hmm. You cannot get the official autopsy, which I've tried. And you cannot even get pictures of the house that they took of like the inside. You can see the outside, but there's nothing on the inside for you to see. So I've tried to look at these photos because I wanted to like actually see how it was, how bad it was, and just a bunch of other stuff. I couldn't find anything. And I looked all over the forums and I ended up finding out that they don't do this in England, mm-hmm. that it's private that way, which I respect. But yeah, it's a lot. So here's just a small list of it. So injuries included, but not limited to scalping. I'm sorry. Not scalping.
I'm so glad you correct yourself yes. there.
Scalding to her buttocks and left leg. Boiling hot water had been poured over her feet and her buttocks. Burnt with cigarettes. Burns on her thigh caused by application of hot iron. Both her kneecaps were crushed, rendering her unable to walk, therefore escape. A fractured arm. Multiple stab wounds caused by knives, forks, and scissors. If you guys want to see her picture. Stab wounds inside her mouth, crushed injuries to both hands, mutilation to her ears, nose, eyebrows, mouth, lips, and genitalia, wounds caused by a spade or pruning shears, both eyes gouged out, later stab wounds to the empty eye sockets, marks on her neck show signs of strangulation and partial scalping. So, yeah, you can look at the other side. So the one in the very front is her last known picture taken before she passed away. Then you have a picture of the guy. And then that's her when she was 14 with her mother on the back.
So that fat brown spot on her forehead, was that a bruise?
I don't know.
That he probably gave her?
I don't know.
And this guy, oh my God, why would you even go home with somebody like that?
I don't
that?
See how he was attractive to begin with. So there's that. The pathologist determined that her eyes had been removed not less than 5 days, not more than 3 weeks before her death. She had been starved, losing 20 kilograms. Do we all want to guess how much of that is in pounds?
20 kilograms is roughly about 40 to 50 pounds.
Yelly, you want to try?
That's kind of like unfair 55. Because I know the.
Joe knows the. It's 44 pounds to be exact. So she had, in 4 weeks, she lost 44 pounds and had not received water for several days before her death. She was 94 pounds at the time of her death.
Wow.
Peter Openshaw, the prosecutor in Smith's trial, said it was as if he deliberately disfigured her, causing her the utmost pain, distress, and degradation. The injuries were not the result of one sudden eruption of violence. They must have been caused over a long period and were so extensive and so terrible that the defendant must have deliberately and cinematically tortured the girl. The cause of death was drowning, immediately prior to which she had been beaten with the shower head itself. Openshire said her death must have been a merciful end to her torture. Kelly Ann Bates.
Can you imagine the people that gave her those fucking pamphlets? How they're like, Yeah, protect yourself with this. Like,
right. And or the warnings and all the people saying that she should leave, but she didn't type of thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe like he had something on her where she couldn't.
Well, like the person before has other relationships. She said she felt trapped, like she couldn't get away. And every single time she would try and get away, just she couldn't. So, I mean, it's really hard to get into the mind of an abused person who feels that they're stuck in that kind of relationship or having to be in that relationship. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to fathom how anyone would allow themselves to do that. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's also like, it's just a huge topic. Yeah, it's a huge psychological thing. And I didn't get into any of that when it came to this case. So Kelly Ann Bates' father, Tommy, had the grim task of identifying his daughter. So this is an exact quote from Tommy, her father. "People called him an animal, but an animal wouldn't do that to another animal. He is a very evil man. I think about how much pain she must have been in, how she must have thought we didn't love her because we didn't save her."
You mean like grab her by the fucking hair and drag her out?
So yeah, all the times that they told her, you should come back, and she didn't. It was like, of course the parents are going to blame themselves because they felt like they didn't do enough. Now we're going to go on to the trial. So Smith denied murder and claimed Bates would put me through hell winding me up. He also claimed that Bates had taunted him about his dead mother and had a bad habit of hurting herself to make it look worse than it really was. He asked to explain why he had blinded, stabbed, and battered Bates, and he said she had dared him to do it, challenging him to do her harm. Despite the overwhelming evidence of torture, Smith maintained Kelly Ann Bates' death happened on accident and that her injuries were all self-inflicted.
Wow.
Yes.
Let me gouge my own eyes out, please.
Right? I do that on a daily. You guys don't even know.
There's some fucking crazy people out there. You never know.
This is true. But I don't think someone is wanting to have their eyes gouged out for 3 weeks and then out of nowhere every fucking day get their eyes stabbed, their empty eye sockets stabbed with a fork, because that's what he would do. Jillian Menes, a psychologist, told the court that Smith had a severe paranoia. There you go.
Paranoia.
He had a severe paranoid disability. God, I know. The counselor said he had a severe paranoid disorder with morbid jealousy and lived in a distorted reality.
You try saying that 10 times fast.
I just tried. Meanwhile, Smith argued that he was the real victim. He claimed it was all Bates that drove him to do such horrible things to her. Right? Classic signs of a narcissist. At the trial for the murder of Kelly Ann, two women came forward to testify against Smith as an abuser. So the 15-year-old and his ex-wife are the ones who decided to come forward. On November 19th, 1997, a jury of 7 men and 5 women at Manchester Crown Court took 1 hour to find 49-year-old Smith guilty of Bates' murder. Sentencing him to life in prison, the judge, Mr. Justice Sachs, recommended that Smith should serve a minimum of term of 20 years. He stated, "This has been a terrible case, a category of depravity by one human being upon another. You are a highly dangerous person. You are an abuser of women, and I intend so far as it is in my power that you will not abuse no more." Yet he's the one who gave him the 20 years minimum.
So only 20?
Yeah, because I don't understand if he deems him that much of a monster, yet he's supposed to get life imprisonment. They should have given him life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Yeah. But they're giving him parole after 20 years.
Wow.
So, and if he went to jail at 49, do the math.
69.
He can still come out. So, which we're going to get to. The jury the jury was provided with professional counseling to help deal with the distress of seeing the photographs of Bates' injury and the sickening violence of the case. And all of the jury accepted there was actually so much that they were affected by it. I think one person almost committed suicide because of how bad the pictures were. Wow. So, again, they did a really good job in making sure that did not reach the public for anyone else to see. Mm-hmm. Because they said it was, like, something you would see from a movie. Yeah. Not something that, you know, would actually happen in real life.
You think that doesn't happen.
Right?
But it does.
The pictures have been deemed too gruesome for the public, and England has done a good job in keeping these things private. In November 2017, James Patterson Smith was scheduled to be released, and by all accounts, he is a free man at the age of 69. Yes.
So he's free now?
Yeah. So, Kelly was only 17 years old. After only serving 20 years in prison, he was able to walk the streets. And that really makes you feel, was Kelly's life really meaningless? Like, was it really worth so little for him to only go 20 years in jail? So he was sentenced to death. He was supposed to go, like, imprisonment. In my opinion, it should have been upheld, but it wasn't. He was granted parole, and his whereabouts are completely unknown, but there's a large group following online that said if he were to be released, and if he is released, they will handle the job that the courts could not. So, and that was the last time I heard from, or the last time I was able to find, that was in 2017. Wow. So, whether someone found him and handled the job, he's been really good at keeping himself out of the public eye. So, no one knows where he's at, what he's doing, none of that. Mm-hmm. But,
well, you know, because 3 years and just, you know.
Right? Because her life is only worth 20 years of his imprisonment, and then he can go free again who knows what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you or someone you know is experiencing violence at home, please seek help. Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline or go to the sites. You can find information and resource and even chat with an advisor. I will provide these links, telephones, and website, and even the chat hotline that you can call. Domestic violence is something to not take lightly. A lot of people lose their lives to it every year. And that's the story of Kellyanne Bates. All right. Yeah. It's pretty.
So, after all that, how do you feel, Sam, that this guy could possibly just be, like, hunkering around?
That's her, too.
Hunkering around, just, like.
I hope someone's out there who did the job that the government couldn't. Because when I was online, there were groups, websites dedicated to making sure that this guy had a miserable life after he got out of jail. Mm-hmm. And there were so many people who were like, yeah, I will handle this personally myself. Mm-hmm. But I've looked in the news fucking everywhere and was not able to find anything on his release, when he was released. Mm-hmm. Whether anyone has found him, if he's still alive, all I just know is that he served 20 years. So he was released, if I'm not mistaken, in 2017. Because 20 years and he was sentenced in 1997. What's 20 years from 1997?
97 is 2017.
Yeah. At 69, he was released. 2017. Not that long ago.
Nope.
Yep. And yet he was supposed to, again, life imprisonment with a minimum of 20 years. He should have got a life imprisonment without the possibility of parole if he was deemed that much of a danger. So how does that make you feel, Joe? Yelly?
It makes me want to go over there and hunt this mother down. Be like, hey, bitch.
Right.
Well, let me gouge out your eyes and, like, our beat you over the head.
That's not our justice system.
That's not ours.
Ours as well. We've had stupid shit that I don't want to mention or talk about that makes me angry.
Yep. That's just the justice system, period. Yeah, so short, simple, and sweet. I think this is, like, the shortest murder I've ever covered. Again, there was not a whole lot of details that they wanted to release, but I thought this was an important enough topic to cover. Because I've covered, I've covered domestic violence when it came to, like, Dee Dee Blanchard.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
I covered Gypsy Rose, and then I covered crime and hate on the LGBTQ community. I've covered a serial killer that went after women. Now I wanted to cover something. I've also did kidnapping. So, yeah. I decided to kind of change some stuff up and give something else a little bit more different. Maybe not as...
Gory
as my other ones.
Pretty gory. Well, it probably was gory to the fact that it put the jury in, like, certain...
Yeah, I could just imagine if I found those dirty details and stated those dirty details, I could just imagine... I probably would have actually not have done it. I probably would have, like, tried to not give out that much gore detail. It would have
stayed at this version,
basically. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it would have probably just stayed between me. Maybe I would have given a little bit more, but not enough to, like...
Yeah.
Disrespect what they were doing.
There you go. That's the word. Not to disrespect in that way. So, I mean, she was only 17 years old. And there were some people who were like, why she was still considered a kid? Why wasn't something else done? Well, over there, 17, you're not a kid anymore. Mm-hmm. You can do as you want at 17. So that's why at 17, she right away moved in with him. And she was like, I don't want my parents to control me anymore. But something else could have done. Like, I think as the parents, if I would have known that my child who's 14 is seeing someone, or 15 seeing someone who's in their 40s or even in their 30s, why didn't they report it? Like, again, they even said it was statutory rape. So, how does that make you feel, Yelly?
It makes me annoyed. Like, really right. Annoyed.
Yep.
But, yeah.
What can you do? All I know is that if you or someone you know is going through something like this, do not ignore it. Do not look away. These signs, if you see don't signs of this.
Rely on a fucking postcard. Like. No,
step in, do something, you know, or like inform someone who can do something. Because you don't also want to put yourself in harm's way either. I mean, just don't sit back, you know, do something about it. So that's our PSA of the day, too.
Or they'll just give you a fucking pamphlet, Sam.
Leaflets. Hopefully not from someone by the name of Theodore. So yeah, that's our case for today. If you guys have any questions or any add-ons, maybe you guys might know the whereabouts of this guy. Maybe, you know, you guys know something that I don't. Or maybe if you have access to those case files, I'd like to take a look. But in the meanwhile, you guys have a good day and be safe out there. Right?
Don't let some 48-year-old man sweet talk you into walking you home.
You went a bit southern there.
Right. Because so. We're here in America. America. Oh, announcements. Merch is on its way. Still working on that website. And we are also in discussion. We have reached our listener goal. And we'll be working on making that live feed eventually. It's probably going to be happening after I come back. I am leaving for about 2 weeks. I'm going to Ireland. Gonna go visit some people.
What does Ireland say?
No, that's Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I will be going, but episodes will still be coming out. When I get back, we will be looking more into merch releases and into doing the live stream. And in the meanwhile, if you guys have any stories or anything you'd like to tell us, please contact us on any of our social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We also have a Patreon, Tea Time Horrors. If you'd like to send us in your stories or anything you'd like to, you know, just comment or whatever, you guys can always shoot us an email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Or you guys can always slide into our DMs.
Slide into something.
Until then,
bye guys. Thank you.
Till next time, Space Cowboys.
No, isn't it Stay Spooky for you?
It is Stay Spooky, but I'm waiting for you to say it.
Mine's Space Cowboy. Joe's gotta have one then too.
Why?
Mine's Stay Spooky. Hers is Till Next Time, Space Cowboys.
Who's a Stay Spooky?
Me.
Stay Spooky. Stay Spooky. Stay Spooky.
Joe's gonna work on it. In the meanwhile, y'all have a good day, okay?
Bye.
Bye.
Why do I have to have a sign out?
Everyone does. Bye.